Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year to you all. This year, of course, will be filled with a lot of trepidation. A lot of people will be wondering what this year is going to bring forth. A lot of people haven't liked what the last couple of years have brought forth. And around the world, there's been such suffering and pain and anguish. And people are hoping for a better future, for a better year, at least we're saying. But how many of you know we don't know the future? You can't predict the future. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. Because I'm a Christian. I know that my future is in God's hand because I believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That beautiful song we sang, Give Me Jesus. We've done that. Many of us here have asked Jesus to come into our lives. Therefore, we are in the hand of God. The scripture says we're in the palm of God's hand. He knows what the future holds. Hallelujah. He holds the future and he holds it for you and me. So I thought before I preach, what about starting the year off just for a few seconds of some loud praise? We don't know what this year is going to bring. We do. It may be the last year that this earth will see as it is. Jesus could come at any moment. This could be the year of his return. We don't know. But whatever it brings, we know him and we love him. And don't get taken up with all the negative talk that is around. If you're a Christian, your trust and your confidence is in him. And you could start this year by praising him like you never have before. So everybody here, just for two or three minutes, no, just for a few seconds, I want you to praise him in your own way. Now, I know it's going to be difficult with the masks on. I'm glad I've got rid of mine, just while I'm preaching, of course. But try, really give him the best. Let's stand, and all of you start praising him right now. Come on. Thank you, Lord. We bless the Lord. We praise the Lord. We magnify the name of the Lord our God. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory, glory, glory. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, that was good. You may be seated. Praise God. I reckon that's got rid of any demons that were lurking around this place. They hate it when we start to praise God. You know that? I'm going to read a scripture from Mark chapter 5 from verse 21. This story, this is a miracle that Jesus did. I have preached on this more than any other of miracles that Jesus did. Over the years, in the 65 years I've been preaching, I've preached on this miracle more than any other. And there's a reason for it, because this miracle inspires me. I am always inspired by the healing of the woman who touched the clothes of Jesus. And it says in verse 21 of Mark chapter 5, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed. So here is a man who's got a real problem. His daughter is dying. He didn't say, my daughter is ill. She was so ill, she was dying. This guy is absolutely desperate. He's a ruler of the synagogue, so he's highly religious, a Pharisee. He knows the Bible, the Old Testament. But he's desperate. And in his desperation, he came to Jesus. I think that's wonderful. He came and asked Jesus for help. A large crowd gathered and pressed around him. That's Jesus. A large crowd. Followed, pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. One of the other gospels that's got the same story in it actually says, she didn't just think it, she said it. She actually said out loud, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I can touch him, I'll be healed. That is an incredible statement for her to make, and we'll see why soon. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, a large crowd gathered around. I'm ahead of myself there. She had suffered a great deal under the care of doctors and had spent all she had, yet grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately. Notice that word. She says, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. Immediately. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized power had gone out from him. He turned around. So she was behind him. This happened. He didn't know who he was. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you can ask who touched me? They're all there. Hundreds of them. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Two people with incredible needs. Now, let me just say this. Needs that, as far as the world are concerned, were impossible. They both needed a miracle, but as far as the world was concerned, it was impossible. There may be people here this morning that need a miracle. Maybe you need a miracle. I want to tell you something. I still believe God is a God of the miraculous. I don't believe he's stopped producing miracles. I have had miracles of healing in my body. Incredible miracles of healing. Things that I would have thought impossible. Now, because most of you here are Christians, very few of you would say something is impossible. The reason you say that is because you know that with God, all things are possible. Is that right? You know, so you wouldn't say it's impossible. But what you would probably say is, it's not impossible, but it's improbable. You know, God can do this. God can heal. God can raise the dead. God can heal the blind, the deaf. He can do anything. But as far as I'm concerned, for me, it's improbable. You know, this woman could have thought like that. She's been bleeding for 12 years. She was a Jew. As soon as the bleeding had started and she knew it was a sickness that she'd got, didn't stop, she had to go and show herself to the priest, so the priest would have prayed for her and do all sorts of things to try to help her. And she never got healed. And then they would have pronounced her, listen to this, unclean. That means this woman was not allowed out in public because she was bleeding. She couldn't do shopping publicly. She couldn't go to parties, marriages. She couldn't go out in public. She was quarantined. Now, we know about quarantine, don't we? We hear so many people complaining about it for being quarantined for a fortnight. This woman was quarantined for 12 long years, not allowed out in the public. And if she was found in public, she could be punished very severely according to the custom of the Jews at that time. The Pharisees would have looked down on her and punished her if she went out in public because she was unclean. That's how they saw it. It says that the woman not only had been to the priest and, you know, the Lord, but she went to doctors. She went to the doctors to try to get healing. And it says she spent all that she had, and instead of getting better, she got worse. Now, this was a disease where she's bleeding. Can't stop. The body's fighting to try to produce more and more blood. She's faint. She will be fainting many times. She's weak. Her body hasn't enough blood. Throughout the day, she would be mostly perhaps sleeping, tired, weak, fatigued. She could easily have thought, after 12 years of this, it's not going to happen. In fact, listen to this. The Bible says she spent all she had, all that she had, on doctors. She tried everything possible to get a miracle, and she became poor. She's got nothing now. Try and picture this woman, if you can, for a moment. If any woman, to my way of thinking, was a candidate for being bitter, this is one. You see, people would be saying to her, because she's unclean, people would be saying, what did you do to deserve this? What sin have you been committing? Why is it you're not walking properly with God? And all this sort of talk would have come against her on top of everything else. That people would be pointing the finger and saying, if you were real, really religious person, if you was a true holy person, you'd have been healed. But she wasn't healed. She grew worse. Her mind would be open to oppression and depression. In those days, there was no help. There was no social services. There was no handouts. Her quarantine didn't mean people would come and bring her food. Did not mean that the government would pay for her while she's in quarantine. Not at all. She had nothing. 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 But a sickness that was slowly killing her. I tell you, this woman could have easily said after 12 years, because she'd been, how many prayers do you think she's prayed? Come on. How many times do you think she's been on her knees pleading with God? Help me, help me, help me. Nothing's happened. So her sickness was for a long time. Jairus, we don't know how long his daughter had been sick. Maybe it wasn't a long time, but it was so bad, this sickness, and it was moving quick. And he saw death of his daughter. He was a man who also needed a miracle, but who could help him? And I'm sure that Jairus also had been to the doctors. I'm sure that Jairus, because he's a synagogue ruler, knew what it was to take her to the priest for prayer. But this girl, he needed a miracle. With God, not impossible, but improbable, perhaps. We'll see why it's improbable in a moment. This woman, can God heal? Yes, but for her, it's improbable. I've been sick for 12 years now. I've had no help. She could have become a bitter, twisted woman. That's why I've preached on this story, this miracle that Jesus did, this more than any other. Because over the 65 years that I've loved the Lord, this scripture keeps on inspiring me. Number one, I don't even know the name of this woman. The Bible doesn't tell it. It tells us the name of Jairus, but incidentally, it doesn't tell us the name of Jairus' daughter. Doesn't tell you who the woman was. I don't know who she was. She doesn't have a name, but she's real. She's suffering. She's in agony. And somehow, some way, instead of her becoming bitter and angry against God, and a lot of people do, a lot of people blame God. I tell you, over the years, I've spoken to many people, and I've witnessed to many people who are angry with God. I've had people spit at me, literally spit at me, because I've been trying to tell them about Jesus. They are so angry with God. I've seen people really bitter when it comes to God, and blaming God for every single thing that happens. The world's in a mess that it's in because of God. There are people who are atheists, because they say there can't be a God, otherwise these terrible things wouldn't be happening. Instead of reading the scriptures and just seeing why the terrible things are happening. The terrible things are not happening because of God. The terrible things are happening because of sin. And God never sinned. We did. Come on. God is not the one who's sending terror and pain and torment into this world. The devil is. The thief comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's a difference. God is not the one who sends the problems. God gave the name Jesus to his son. And Jesus means Savior. So God is the one who's not sending the sickness, sending the horrible things that are happening. He's sending forgiveness and salvation to those who receive it. So I get encouraged when I'm thinking about this woman and trying to think of her condition, because there's times when I've been sick for periods of time, and I want to tell you, it's hard when you're sick to be spiritual. Come on. Come on. You've been sick for periods of, it's very hard when you're sick to be spiritual. Because somehow your physical body, your physical feelings counteract with you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So you put yourself in this woman's position, 13 years of bleeding. No cure. No one to help her. She could have really, really be angry at God. She's a Jewess. She knows the scriptures. She knows prayer. She'd been through all of that, but still sick. And she could easily have blamed God, but she didn't. I'm amazed at this. When Jesus came by, this woman somehow, some way, and I don't know where this comes from because it amazes me. I'm telling you, it amazes me. She suddenly says, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Where did that come from? If I can touch him, I will be healed. I want to tell you, she's saying something there that miracles are possible. She's not just saying God can do miracles, but it's improbable in my case. God can work for other people, but me, I don't think so. I've not seen it before. She's not saying that. She's saying, if I could touch his clothes, if I can touch him, if I can touch him, if I can touch him, if I can touch Jesus, I'll be healed. Where did that come from? Come on, where did it come from? Within her, faith started to rise. And when she got healed, when her healing came, Jesus said these words to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. That's what Jesus said, your faith. He didn't say my power. He knew power went out of him because her faith drew the power. He stopped. In fact, this is amazing. How many of you have suddenly seen hope and you think, yep, I can do this. Yes, I can get through this. There's hope there. I can see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, this hope. And then suddenly, your hopes get dashed. Anybody ever been in that situation? Here's this woman. She's saying, if I can touch him. She's heard about Jesus, you see. Somehow, some way, she's heard that Jesus is working miracles. Somehow, some way, she's heard that Jesus may be the Messiah. So she decides to go visit him, find out where he is, and go. Now listen, for this woman right now, something's happening. She's breaking quarantine. Come on, something is happening. She's breaking with protocol. What she is doing is politically incorrect, but she's doing it anyway. Hallelujah. She left her house. And she made to the place where Jesus was. And when she got there, there were hundreds and hundreds of people around him. Now, according to the law of the land, we've all got to have masks on, apart from if you're preaching like me. You've all got masks on. You've all got to do, that's protocol, right? I said, Lord, you've done it. This woman was not allowed out in public. She saw this crowd of people. What do you think the devil said to her? Go home. It's not your turn. Go home. He doesn't know who you are. You can't even get to him. Now remember, she's sick, she's weak, she's ill, and she starts to come up to the crowd. Now listen, she starts to touch them. I think she started to push them. She's weak, she's frail. Jesus is some meters away from her, surrounded by all these people. And while she's pressing through, Jairus has come and he said to Jesus, my daughter, she's sick, she's dying. Master, come and help. So Jesus, I think Jesus doesn't say this, but I think Jesus put his arm around Jairus and says, come on, let's go. And started to walk away from the woman. Now, isn't that more reason for her to give up? Not only is there a crowd of people there, but he's walking away from her. She could have easily said, what's the point? What is the point of this? What is the point of this? This is ridiculous. Why do I get my hopes up thinking I've been to this doctor, that doctor, I went to this quack, I've been to that person. I've done all. Why do I get my hopes up? And then they dashed. She could have said that. But she didn't. Listen to this. Listen now. She started not only to think, but as one of the other gospels says, she started to say, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. If I can touch him, I'll be healed. She starts to push people out of the way. She's expending the last bit of energy that she's got. And as she's getting closer to him, she's tired. And she's in all probability on her knees because she touched the hem of his garment. And she's reaching out. And she I don't know how many people she's pressed through. There were hundreds. Some people say there were thousands, because we know on occasions thousands gathered around him. I don't know how the woman found the energy, the strength, the tenacity, the perseverance to press through, but she did. She pressed through. Because she said, if I could touch him, I'll be healed. She said it. Now, Jesus didn't know what was happening. He didn't know she was there. But God did. And I reckon when she started to press through, I can imagine. I know I'm only using my imagination, but I have a lovely godly imagination. And I can imagine God saying to Gabriel, come here, Gabriel. Michael, come here. See that? Look at that woman. She's pressing into Jesus. Look, do you know how sick she is? How ill she is? Look, she's pressing in. She's pressing in. Look, look. Come and look at it. My son doesn't even know she's there. He doesn't even know she's there. And the Holy Spirit never told Jesus that she was there. Then all of a sudden, she got right up to him. And I think she was on her knees in the dirt and the dust and the grime. She was on her knees and she touched him. And immediately, her bleeding stopped. It means she backed off. And she felt good. She felt better than she's felt for 12 long years. She touched Jesus. And then Jesus stopped. And he says, who touched me? And the disciples, who were already right close to him, because they were his bodyguards, or they thought they were, they would be right round him. So what do you mean? He says, who touched me? And I think he stopped for a period of time. Who touched me? Who was it? And he's looking. God hasn't revealed to him who it was. He's looking. He felt power. He felt some power go out of him. When she touched him, he didn't see her. He just felt the touch and bang. Power went out of him. And so he stopped, and the disciples couldn't work. Master, what do you mean, who touched you? They're all pressing in. They all want to touch you. Can I say to you right now, they didn't want to touch him. They may have been touching him, but they didn't want to touch him Because they were spectators. They were just inquiring. They were just following him to see what he would do. There was only one person in that crowd that touched him. They weren't coming to touch him. They were coming to just look at him. They weren't coming to touch him. They were coming to inquire of him. Lord, I've got something wrong in my family. Do you think you could sort this out? I heard that you even raised the dead, so maybe you can help my grandmother, or maybe you can. They were inquiring. This woman was not inquiring. She was not a spectator. She came to touch Jesus no matter what. No matter what obstacles were in the way. And I'm telling you right now, everybody listen to this. The devil will always put obstacles in your way to stop you touching Jesus. He'll try his utmost to stop you. He'll put all kinds of things. He'll put family in your way. He'll put work weight mates in your way. He'll put finances in your way. He'll put even sickness in your way. He'll put anything and everything to stop you touching Jesus. The last thing that the devil wants you to do is touch Jesus. Because if you touch Jesus, something miraculous will happen in your life. No doubt about it at all. And she touched him. And then, I don't know how long he stayed there for, maybe a minute or two, and then she got frightened. She's healed. She's feeling good until he turned around and said, "Who did it?" And she said, "Oh, I'll be in trouble for this, will I?" So she came and fell on her knees. And she said, "It was me." And she told him the story. And Jesus was amazed. He was flabbergasted. I can't imagine taking her by the hand and lifting her up. Now remember, he doesn't know her name. He doesn't know if it's Mary or an Elizabeth. He doesn't know her name. So he calls her daughter. Isn't that lovely? He says, "Daughter." Now she probably may have been older than him, but she still, do you know why? Because one of the names of Jesus is, he's the Everlasting Father. Come on, he's a Prince of Peace. We know that. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father. So he can call her daughter. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. He calls you daughter. He calls you son. But he knows your name. Yeah. We've heard that this morning from that lovely scripture. We've been born again. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. And when you become a new creation, guess what happens? You're given a new name. A name yet that you don't even know. Jesus knows your old name, but you've got a new name as well. He's got that one tied down. Hallelujah. We're new creatures. So he says to her when she stood, "Daughter, you go in peace. Your faith has made you whole." Can you see why I get inspired by this woman? There have been times in my experiences when faith has been about so big. And I thought, "Oh God, will I get through this? Am I going to make it?" And this has been happening for such a long time, Lord. I know you're a miracle worker. I know you could do miracles. I know nothing is impossible for you, but maybe this is improbable. You're not going to do it for me. Maybe for the neighbor, for the person, not for me. And then I come across this story. I get inspired. How can I not get inspired when I see what this woman did? How can I not get inspired to go touch Jesus? Out of a crowd of hundreds, maybe thousands that day, one person touched him. Hallelujah. And a miracle flowed. Can you imagine if every person that came to him touched him? I'm talking about touched him. I mean touched him. I want to touch Jesus. We've sang that beautiful song, "Give Me Jesus," and we're going to finish with that in a moment. But give me Jesus. I want to touch him. I don't want to just be a spectator. I don't want to just be one who's looking on the outside in. I want to touch you, Jesus. Now listen to this. Can you imagine that woman, all of a sudden, she's no longer in quarantine? Come on. No longer in quarantine. Can you imagine she'd go? How many of you think she went to her house a lot happier than she came out? How many think there might have even been a skip? There might have been a little dance. She went back. Well, she's gone. And just as Jesus has finished with her, some men from Jairus as his servants came to him and says, trouble the master no more because your daughter's dead. Oh! While she was alive and sick, Jesus could heal her perhaps. But she's dead. This is impossible. We are hitting an absolute impossibility. She's dead. Can you imagine that man, Jairus, how his heart would have dropped? Remember, I think Jesus said when he'd finished talking to the woman, put his arm around Jairus again, started to walk, and his servants came and stopped him. Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Can you imagine how his heart would have dropped? Do you know what Jesus said to him? Don't be afraid. Just believe. He's telling this man to have the same thing as this woman had. Don't be afraid. Well, she pressed in. She wasn't afraid. She was going to get her miracle no matter what. No matter what, she determined to get a miracle. This man, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Believe. Why should this man not be afraid? Because Jesus is there. I think Jesus had his arms around him. Come on, I think Jesus was escorting him. You don't have to be afraid when you've got Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Not loud enough. Amen. When you've got Jesus, don't let fear come and rob you of what the joy that is given to you. Don't let fear do that. Fear is a thief. Fear is a robber. Fear will rob you of peace. Fear will rob you of joy. Fear will rob you of faith. Stop it. If you are afraid today, stop it. Start to believe. They went to Jairus' house. You know the story. He kicked everybody. When he got there, they were all moaning and complaining and crying. And they pay for personal mourners. You pay money to mourners in those days to come and cry. He kicked them all out. Out. And he healed this girl. And then he said to his mum and dad afterwards, now give her something to eat. He healed her. What a miracle. Come on. Friends, I believe in miracles. I've nearly finished, but I want to say this. If you know you need a miracle, don't start saying to yourself, it's improbable for me. It's not impossible for God to do it to others, but it's improbable to me. He won't do it to me because I'm not very good. He won't do it to me because I fail him so much. He won't do it to me because I'm a nobody. Who knows me? When you're Jairus, he was a known man. Everybody knew Jairus, but nobody knew this woman. She'd been in quarantine for 12 years. Don't you say, I can't get the miracle because it's improbable it'll happen to me because I don't know enough scripture. I don't know enough about God. It doesn't matter. God's not looking to see how much you know. He's looking to see where your faith is. Listen to this, and I'll finish with this. I don't know how far she reached out to touch him. Remember, she's on her knees, dusty, tired, in pain, sick, weak, feeling faint. And she reached out. Now, did she just reach out a little, or did she reach her hand full out? Full out. Because she's desperate. She's tired. He's walking away. She's used every bit of energy she's got. And I think she reached as far as she can. And I got a feeling in heaven, I'll be told this, I reckon she just touched his garment. I don't think she grabbed his garment. I don't think she pulled on his garment. I think she just touched it. A touch was enough. Come on. A touch was enough. Will you touch him today? Would you come and touch Jesus? Have you got a miracle right now that you need? Maybe you say, yes, John, I have. I've been praying for something for years, or this thing has just happened and I know it's going to take a miracle. I want to pray before we sing this song. I just want to pray for people here who know they need a miracle. And I don't need to know what that miracle. Remember, this is a wonderful thing. Jesus didn't know what miracle she needed. He knew what miracle Jairus needed, but he didn't know the miracle that this woman needed. All he needed to do was to be touched by faith, and healing virtue flowed out of him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can see why I like this woman, don't you? I'm going to find her in heaven. I've told you before. I always say this. I'm going to find her in heaven and give her a big hug that'll probably last for 1,000 years. Because this woman has been a source of inspiration to me many, many times. There's times I probably would have almost given up if it wasn't for the fact that I get encouraged again that this woman didn't give up. Don't you give up on your miracle. Don't give up on praying for somebody. I'm believing for somebody. Don't give up on your miracle. If you've got problems, problems with sin, problems with lust, problems with finance, problems with sickness in your body, whatever it may be, don't give up. He's still the miracle worker. Out there, they'll say it's impossible. Don't you say that in here. Don't you say it's impossible. Don't you dare say that. We cross those lines of impossibility because we're born again. We cross it. You've already had one miracle when you got born again. When you believed in Jesus, you became a new creature. That's the greatest miracle of all. You've already had it. There's many more for you now. So who here would say, John, I want you to pray for me. I want my faith to rise. I want to be able to touch Jesus like that. Just raise your hand if that's you so I can pray for you. Come on, put your hands up right up in the air if that's you. Quite a lot of you. Okay. Father, keep your hands raised. Father, for every person that's got their hand raised now, there's somebody else who needs to raise their hand. I've got my eyes shut now, but I just felt the Lord say there's somebody else that really needs to raise their hand because they too are struggling for this miracle in their lives. I want you right now, before I say this prayer, to raise your hand with these other people that are raising their hands. Will you do it right now? Come on. Father, you see every person here whose hand is raised. They're looking for miracles, Lord. And as we've already said, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know you, Lord, and you hold the future in your hand. And our future in you is great and wonderful and marvelous. Now I'm praying for the people here, Lord. I don't know what their miracles are, Father. You do, because you're God. You know what they need exactly. But what I do pray for each one of them now is that they will touch you, Jesus. Jesus, whatever is trying to stop them, help them to break through. Help them to break through all the barriers that would come against them that would stop them from touching you. Help them to break through every single barrier. I'll give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. I pray their faith will rise and their miracles will flow. I ask it in and through the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.